Chapter 12. Lexi breathed a sigh of relief that Nan's and the girls weren't wearing trench coats like she had imagined. They were quite tastefully dressed, complete with fresh hairdos and toting their gigantic purses. Lexi wondered if their iPads were inside them. Lexi jumped out of the car, pushing up the front seats so the ladies could have access to the back. She eyed the tiny space in her VW Beetle uncertainly. Could three elderly women contort themselves into this space? "This is pretty cramped. Are you guys going to be able to get in here?" she voiced her concern.
"Oh, don't be silly," Ruth waved her hand. "We do yoga. This is a piece of cake."
To prove the point, Ruth, Ida, and Helen all piled into the back seat with the ease of gymnasts. Nance took the passenger seat, and Lexi hopped back into the driver's seat, putting the car in gear and heading off toward the funeral parlor. She pulled up in front of McGreevy's, dropping the ladies off at the door, marveling at how easily they extracted themselves from the back seat. Lexi drove around back to the parking area. Getting out of the car, she inspected her black skirt for any spots of flour, twisting around to look at the back. She'd been so busy at the bakery, she barely had time to do a quick change and fluff up her hair before driving over to pick the ladies up. Once she was satisfied that her skirt was flour-free, she straightened her peach-colored silk blouse and strode off toward the front. The ladies were waiting for her on the steps. Ida looked her up and down, stopping at her black suede Stuart Weitzman 4-inch pumps. The contrasting silver metallic pointed toe added a touch of glam to the understated shoe.
"I used to be able to wear heels like that," Ida said wistfully.
Then she leaned in toward Lexi and whispered,
"You shouldn't wear them too often, though, dear, or you'll end up with bunions, like mine."
Lexi looked down at Ida's feet. They were clad in low-slung sandals. The open-toe style, which Lexi thought was a little late for this time of year, afforded a perfect view of Ida's big toe, which was contorted over to the side, bunching up her other toes. It looked painful. Lexi shuddered, looking back down at her own feet. Maybe she should rethink her choice of footwear from now on. The ladies hurried up to the oak doors, which were opened, as if by magic, by two somber-looking gentlemen in dark suits. Lexi followed them inside. The funeral home was exactly as she remembered it from Kevin's wake. It was elegantly decorated and exuded the faint scent of flowers. The hushed tones of low voices and hymnal music filled her ears. They had the casket set up in the room to the right. Nance and the others made a beeline in that direction. Lexi almost had to jog to keep up. She got in line behind them, dutifully waiting her turn to file past the body on her way to pay her respects to the family. On the other side, Xavier, Blake, and Bronson were standing in a receiving line. Lexi was surprised to see a blonde woman hovering around Xavier, alternating between handing him tissues and shoving a small glass of water in his hand. Lexi poked Nance in the ribs. "Who's that?" she whispered, indicating the blonde.
"That's his ex, Trixie. I guess she didn't waste any time trying to get her hooks back into him."
Lexi watched her from her spot in line. She seemed generally concerned about Xavier, almost motherly. Could she have killed Chastine? She didn't look like a hard-boiled killer. But then, Lexi didn't really know what one was supposed to look like. Lexi shuffled up to the casket behind Nance, Ruth, Ida, and Helen. The four of them stood together, looking down at Chastine.
"She was really beautiful," Ruth said.
The rest of them murmured their agreement. Lexi remembered the few times she had met her in person. She had been a true beauty. No wonder she was able to charm Xavier into marrying her. Nance turned to the receiving line. She went straight to Xavier, giving her old friend a hug and telling him how sorry she was. Trixie flitted around in the background, keeping a respectful distance but staying at the ready whenever Xavier seemed to need a pat on the back or a fresh tissue. Lexi followed behind Nan's, giving her condolences to Xavier, then Bronson. She was surprised to find Bronson was rather civil. Nice, even. But he was behaving rather nervously, his eyes darting around the room as if he was looking for someone. Blake was at the end of the line. He spent a little more time than necessary hugging Lexi in an attempt to grope certain parts of her. The man was shameless. She offered her condolences, and he shrugged it off, opting to ask her out on a date instead. Lexi extracted herself from his clutches by promising to catch up with him later, then escaped from the receiving line as fast as she could. She regrouped with Nans and the girls in a small room off to the side.
I say we split up and canvass the room to see if we can find anything out, Nans whispered.
The others nodded, then everyone took off in a different direction. Lexi headed straight for the side room where they usually kept the refreshments. The room was long and narrow. It was set up much the same as it had been for Kevin's wake, with a long table against the wall loaded with trays of cookies and pastry. She wondered what bakery they came from. Grabbing a lemon cookie, she gingerly took a bite. They weren't nearly as good as hers. Maybe she should bring the funeral director some samples.
Lexi drifted over to the corner of the room, the lemon cookie balanced in one hand on top of a napkin.
Voices drifted toward her, allowing her to pick up snippets of conversations.
Loved her so much.
She was a real...
I could have killed her myself.
Lexi's ears perked up when she heard that last bit. She honed in on the conversation like a guided missile. Three people she didn't recognize were huddled together in the corner just outside the snack room. Lexi slipped out of the room and edged along the wall, sidestepping a little closer. There was a tall, potted plant between her and the three people, and she used it for cover, standing behind it, but with her ear cocked toward the threesome.
Y'all knew I had to come just to make sure that bitch was dead.
It was a woman with a heavy southern accent.
That's right. After what she did to Bob, we owed it to him to fly up.
Another southern accent, this one a man.
I could have spit on her, but 'twouldn't be gentlemanly.
The voices got softer. Lexi couldn't hear what they were saying, so she leaned closer. She was practically in the tree, but leaned in even closer still. A jolt of horror shot through her when she realized she had gone too far. The giant plant was tipping over. She dropped her cookie on the floor. Her hands grabbed at the plant, trying to keep it from falling, but managing only to pull off a handful of leaves. She felt her stomach sinking as she watched the plant descending toward the group. Luckily, one of the men had quick reactions. He jumped up, blocking the plant from falling, and setting it upright again.
Well, little lady, I guess maybe you should be looking where you're going,
the man said with a friendly wink. Lexi felt her cheeks grow hot.
I'm so sorry, she stammered.
The man let out a chuckle and stuck his hand out toward her.
I'm Dinty Carter, and this here is my wife Mandy and my brother Harold.
He pointed to the other two people who were with him. Lexi put her hand out. His handshake was firm and warm. Lexi Baker, she introduced herself. You don't sound like you're from around here. Were you friends of Chastine's from back home? Mandy let out a snicker.
Hardly. That woman didn't have any friends.
Lexi raised her eyebrows. You didn't like her, but you came all the way here from... She let her voice trail off. She didn't actually know where they were from.
Texas, Dinty filled in. Chastine was engaged to our good friend Bob, and... Well, she did a number on him. Poor man's not been the same since she left him. Almost catatonic. Won't talk to anyone, even his own daughter. We felt like we owed it to him to come up and see for ourselves. Maybe he can get some closure and start to heal.
Cripes, what did she do to him? Lexi asked. Dinty spread his hands and shrugged his wide shoulders.
Lied, cheated, and broke his heart.
Lexi felt sympathy for the man.
She looked over into the other room where Chastine lay. Clearly, these people must have hated her to make the trip all the way up here. But did they hate her enough to kill her? Lexi spent the next half hour rambling around the funeral parlor, listening covertly to people's conversations. She talked with a few people she knew from town, but no one had any light to shed on the murder. She was starting to feel conspicuous when Nance found her and announced it was time to go. They were making their way down the large front steps when Lexi heard a familiar voice behind her.
"There's my favorite girl."
She whirled around to see Jack, her heart swelling. She beamed a wide smile at him, but instead of rushing over to Lexi, Jack made a beeline straight for Nan's. She felt her smile dim just a bit. Encircling the older woman in a hug, Jack winked pointedly at Lexi.
"Mona, how have you been?"
Jack asked.
"Wonderful. How about you?"
Mona stood on her tiptoes, giving Jack a peck on the cheek. Lexi felt her cheeks grow warm, embarrassed at her momentary misplaced jealousy. Jack lived in the house behind Lexi, the house Nance had lived in for decades. During the last few years, Nance and Jack had become rather close, with Jack doing odd jobs around the house to help her out. Lexi knew Jack admired the smunky old lady, and he got a kick out of the ladies' detective club. He often tried to help them out by feeding them clues and giving them tips. Nance thought of Jack almost like a grandson. It was no surprise she was his favorite girl. Jack let go of Nance. Moving over next to Lexi, he put his arm around her.
"What are you ladies doing here?"
he asked, his eyes narrowing at Lexi. "Nance and the girls wanted to pay their respects to Xavier. They've been friends since childhood. I just gave her a ride." Lexi looked at him sideways from under her lashes, her face a mask of innocence. Jack gave her a look indicating his skepticism.
"Well, I hope you guys don't get too involved in this case," he said to Nance and the other women. "The killer could be very dangerous. I don't want anything to happen to my favorite girls."
He glanced over at Lexi, his face as hard as stone.
"I'd better be getting inside. Lexi, I'll see you tomorrow."
Lexi nodded enthusiastically, feeling a warm tingle start in her lower stomach at the thought of seeing Jack for dinner. Jack nodded, then turned and walked up the steps to the front doors.
"Such a nice young man," Ruth said. "And handsome, too," Ida added as she watched him walk away.
The women started walking back toward Lexi's car.
"So, did anyone find out anything good?" Lexi asked.
"I happened to run into Mavis Fencer. She said Chastine had a lover."
Ruth's eyes were wide, her voice barely above a whisper.
"Interesting."
Lexi chewed her bottom lip.
"Maybe the lover was upset she was getting married and killed her. Or maybe Xavier found out and killed her in a fit of passion."
"I heard a few younger people talking about Bronson's temper. Apparently he can be violent when he gets mad. Maybe Chastine made him mad that morning and he did her in," Helen said, then turning to Lexi. "Did you find anything out?"
"As a matter of fact, I did."
She told them about the Texans, omitting the part about her knocking over the tree.
"Do you think they could have done it?" Helen asked.
"They said they were only here for the wake, to get closure for their friend." "I think we should find out how long they have been here. If what they say is true, then they can't have been here more than a day. Maybe you can check the local hotels to see when they checked in," she said to Ruth.
Then, looking at the group, she added,
"If they were here before she died, then their story is a bit fishy." "They could have come here from Texas to kill her. Anyone could have, to avenge this Bob person," Lexi thought for a moment. "Actually, they said Bob had a daughter. She might have hated Chastine enough to want to kill her after what she did to her father."
We need to check into this daughter, find out who she is, and more importantly, where she was when Chastine was murdered, Nan said. Also, we need to find out who Chastine's secret lover was.
Lexi ushered the women into the car and got behind the wheel. She felt a sinking sensation in her stomach. They were no closer to solving the murder than they had been that morning. Quite the opposite, in fact. They had come to the wake hoping to narrow things down, and had ended up with even more suspects than when they started.